Hello, good evening. Welcome to another edition of the D&D Show, your weekly role-playing podcast slash Twitch stream. We are currently working our way through the...
Hello, everybody.
We are currently playing Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, of course. It's in the name. That might change in the future at some point. Who knows? And we are, of course, playing the starter set, The Lost Mine of Phandelver. We're a bunch of beginners, just having a laugh, learning the game, and just basically experimenting, having fun every week because we're all stuck in lockdown. My name's Luke. I'm your co-host, GM, DM, what you want to call me, Lukey Baby, or just Luke is fine. Tonight I am joined by... I can never remember, like, I always try to mix it up. I don't even want to do the same names. I don't want anyone to think that I've got a favourite, so I don't know who I normally start with. I'm going to go with James tonight. Hello, James, sir.
Hello there, how you doing, mate?
I'm very, very well, thank you. James is playing Justice Scapes, a human paladin. We've got Gavin.
Good evening.
Good evening, short and sweet.
Sorry, I've been at work today.
That's all right. Yes, presumably.
It's my first week back. Yeah. You were saying
in our chat earlier on that it's a bit of a crap day for you as well. So, but I do feel for you.
Yeah, this should be good though. This should be good.
As long as
I was trying to wake up.
That's cool. Have a coffee and stuff. Because you'll be sober tonight, I assume.
Yes. Yeah, I'm on call, so that's not good either. Next week, I was supposed to be on call next week, but I've managed to palm my call out off to one of the younger lads.
Cool.
He's clamoring for money, and I was like, yeah, you can have it, you know.
Yeah.
God, crazy. Well, I get 100 quid for being on call, and I'm like, it's really not worth it, you know.
Well, hopefully we're going to have a successful stream, but just fair warning to our viewers and what that there is a possibility that Gavin might get called into work. We'll deal with that as and when that happens. Yeah, we haven't discussed it.
When the bat signal goes.
Slim. So Gavin, of course, plays Burr Boltthrower, a dwarvish rogue with the subclass Swashbuckler. Then we've got Lisa.
Hello.
Lisa, who are you? Would you play? Millicent. Do you have a surname? Is it just Millicent?
Miravaris.
Millicent Miravaris.
Oh, wow.
Wow, there's a nice fantasy name. Cool.
Yeah, it's got to alliterate if it's Burbolt for
her. Yeah, that's true. That's true. The half elven bard. There we go. And then we've got Sean.
Hello. You're right.
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Hello. Good. Yeah, not bad.
Good.
Not bad.
Sean plays Pock. Just Pock. Mm-hmm. The gnome is Druid.
Well, that's his nickname.
Oh, what's his full name?
His full name is Fonking Ningle, apparently.
Fonking Ningle.
Ponking.
Fonking Nimble.
Fonking Nimble.
No, Ningle.
Ningle. How did you? Was that just from a random name generator?
Well, I think when you first told me to have a look at the druid or gnome part of the book, it said typical gnome names, and they were the weirdest ones I could find. So I put them together, and then I was like, I couldn't say it, so I was like, shit, I need a nickname.
Fair enough, that works.
Do you want to tell everyone what your original character name was in the campaign we never played?
Oh yeah, I did a character before, didn't I? Vulva bag shit.
Vulva bag shit.
That sounds like Bilbo's, long.
It was,
the cousin that no one talks about.
And Bilbo's character in space, Bilbo Bagshot.
It was
a little mashup.
Cool. Excellent. So we've got people in the chat. Excellent. Always a pleasure to see. There's 11 people so far. Hello, everybody. Let's see. Have a look through who we've got. Flak 30. Good evening. We've got somebody new, a name I don't recognise. Old Buddy 07 says, "Heyo, I was just reading The Mind." So he's reading currently the book that we're going through. Luke Carew. Hello, Luke. We've got somebody else that I don't recognise. Dragons in the Dining Room. I think they're a fellow streamer podcast, actually. I think I talk to them on Twitter quite a lot. So thanks for joining us. Lecky Macon is here, of course, as well. He's been at work for 4 weeks here in Denmark. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Yeah, and then they talk about that. And Psych Unsent, hello Psych, good to see you. The one person that I haven't mentioned who's also in there is Fires of Athelon. I think I mentioned them briefly last week. Really, really great bunch of guys. Fires of Athelon is actually the name of their own RPG system that they have designed. It's based loosely on D&D 5e. It's where they started, and they basically stripped it apart and rebuilt it. And I've been chatting to them a lot, and they've also got their own stream. Check them out, where they're doing kind of playthroughs of the system. They do two shows a week. They do that in a development corner where they then talk about it as well. Really good. It's more complicated than D&D, but it's more gritty, more realistic. So combat's much more deadly. They've got like a locational hit system. So you depending on how well you roll, you could potentially one shot, you could kill someone, chop their head off. That kind of stuff does happen in that game. It's
cool.
I'm really, really interested in it. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of them. So brilliant that you're here with us.
It's not too unfair that RDM has just admitted to wanting to kill us all, but that's fine.
I've had plenty of opportunities.
I'm really, really interested in this.
It's just it's very reminiscent of a game that I played when I was younger. I think we've had this conversation. A game I played when I was younger called Rollmaster, and they had a kind of module as well called MERP, which was Middle-earth Role-Playing, where it was very, very risky. They had like a critical tables and fumble tables and stuff, and everything was, you know, more realistic, and it brought a completely different level to combat, which it was a really cool game. And it sounds like they've taken some stuff, some inspiration from that. It's interesting because 5e is all right, but it is very basic. It is for beginners. It's very easy for new people to get into because it is quite simple. But you know, we've experienced it back when Sean, you first started playing with us, you were like, can I do this, can I do that? And it's like, well, no, actually, you can't. No, you can't actually choose to shoot somebody in the eye or bite their dick off, because it all depends on what happens. But actually, this system,
as you allowed that,
I did, depending on, because you know, you rolled well and you got the kid in blow. But you know, whereas in, you know, 5e, you roll to hit and then you roll damage, and you know, that doesn't really mean anything. You know, you're not actually stabbing someone or actually cutting their arm off. Whereas in that system, potentially that could happen from the roll. So yeah, it's cool, exciting. How is everybody then? So Gav's filled us in. Anything interesting for any of you guys?
I put some garden furniture together yesterday.
Nice. You did another charity thing, didn't you, this week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably much better news.
Yeah?
Yeah, we raised another £270, this time for Havering Mind.
Lovely.
College students performing on, this time YouTube, because Twitch is a bit difficult for their parents to navigate to. It's for young people, Twitch. But yeah, no, it was, we were so blown away by anyone even watching it, let alone donating, that me and Claire were over the moon. And it's available on YouTube as a playback. If anyone ever wants to see it, it's Take the Mic on YouTube. Take the Mic, Take the Stage. So charity live stream, loads of little talented young kids performing, 16 to 18-year-olds at the college I work at. Good fun stuff.
Yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out. Any music producers out there looking for the next Ed Sheeran or something?
Next big thing.
Cool. Looks like we are already having some technical difficulties. James has dropped out, which has moved people's icons around on the Twitch stream. So currently, Lisa, you're sat in James's icon. Sean, you're on Lisa's icon.
Oh, really?
And Gavin, you're on Sean's icon. And
nice.
James has disappeared.
We need to play as each other. So
this is it.
Hang on, let me spark up. Hold on.
Hopefully he'll come back, and if he does, it should sort that out. There he is. He's logging back in. Hey. Cool.
We had a socially distanced pride on Sunday in our garden.
Oh, lovely.
Which was nice for some of Emma's friends, because they couldn't go to Pride, so.
Yeah,
it was nice. Saturday it was. So yeah,
I've always wanted to go to Pride, and I never have. I think I've mentioned to him before here. My godfather, very, very good friends of mine and the family. He's gay, but he's in the LGBT community. He's quite big. He used to DJ at clubs like Club Fire and GAY and stuff like that. And he worked for Boys Magazine for a long time, and now he works in like PR and marketing or something for the Vauxhall Tavern, which is like one of the most famous LGBTQ venues in London. So he always goes, and I've always been meaning to go and go with him and show, you know, show some support, but I never have. When I was younger, back when I was like 18, 19 and first going clubbing, he was like, come to club fire with me. And I was like,
no, I don't.
sounds like fun. But I just don't think
they are the best.
I know. I kept on saying to him, you know what, if you play some Faith No More, I'm there, but otherwise not going to happen.
I went to meet my mate Phil at a bar in Soho once, and like Phil's gay anyway, and he was like, yeah, we'll go to this little bar, I know. And we went downstairs into this weird little bar, and then he sort of looked at me, he goes, those guys are really checking you out. And he was like, I was like, right. And he's like, yeah, he goes, because your outfit is like really sort of baby bear. he's like, you've got like a checked shirt on, a big strappy watch, a beard. Those guys are loving it. And I was just like, oh, fucking hell. Jeez.
I remember going to one. It was after one of gigs that me and Lisa used to do. And the guy we used to sing for took us to this place in Soho. And I remember going in. I'd never been into a gay bar before. I did, at the end of the night, I'd had the best fucking time I'd ever had. It was brilliant. But they had the rugby on. So I was fucking made up. I think, yeah, it might have been, yeah.
Right.
They were showing the rugby. Like, no one was watching the rugby, but I was genuinely... I was at a pint, I had rugby, I had Spice Girls. Oh, I was way out of the
time. Sounds like a good time.
It was the best night.
Yeah. I was never one... Like, when I went out, used to back in my going out days, I was never one for... I never went out to pool like so many people do. I just went out for a good time, but there was always that pressure in the back of my head, you know, what if I see someone, I meet someone or someone talks to me, because I'm a massively socially awkward person, even when I was more confident in my younger days. Like, I don't think I ever once pulled anybody. Like, all of my partners in life, and my wife included, have always been acquaintances and friends of friends and stuff, because it's just easy. Yeah. It's always easy. But so I did go to, there was a club in Ipswich where I live, it's called Betty's, I think. I went there once or twice, and it just completely lifted that off me, because like all of a sudden that pressure of, you know, am I here to pull was completely gone.
Are you a predator?
Yeah, like this is it. You know, people automatically assume that when you're a young and, dare I say, good looking chap, and I'm I'm 6'5" as well, you know, like, people just automatically assume that I don't know, I'm sound like I've got a massive ego. I was like, I don't think I've ever been hit on either, to be honest. But like, I don't know why, it was just like I wasn't under that pressure, because I knew that everybody who was there was not interested in me, and therefore I could just have a good relax and dance to some cheesy dance tunes. And it's actually a brilliant night. So
the best nights are when you don't give a shit about stuff like that. Like, me and Lisa have done some ridiculous stuff on dance floors.
I think it's time to start playing, guys. I don't know.
We've got our little old lady dance that we do.
Cool.
Thank you.
This is actually brought me nice.
James is back.
Hello, James. This has actually brought me into a nice little segue. I wanted to do a couple of shout outs today. I don't know whether this might be a regular thing I do. I'm always going, oh, check this out. And I thought, actually, you know what? Let's actually, rather than last week at the end of the stream when I was like drunk and I was like, oh, don't, you know, I was like, let's just actually take a couple of minutes at the beginning and just a couple of things that I've found in the past week that I think are worth mentioning. I'm not being paid. This is not a advertising thing. It's just cool stuff that I've found that I've enjoyed and thought I'd pass it on. So pride is something that's brought me onto something. Is I today have to speak quietly so my wife doesn't hear me. I said, today I just bought a load of dice, because there's a really cool shop that I found through Facebook advertising thing, and they're called Valkyrie RPG. Today is the last day. So if you're going to listen to this in the podcast in 2 weeks' time, it's too late. But if you're on the stream, go to the website, because at the moment, if you use the promo code PRIDE2020, you get 20% off. And I was like, fucking sweet. And they got some fucking delicious dice on there. Yeah, really, really nice dice. Check them out. They're cool. Those of you who do follow us on Twitter and on Facebook might have noticed I made another purchase this week.
Burn it.
Well, I've been thinking a lot the past couple of weeks what we're going to do when this finishes, because we are approaching, we're probably about two-thirds of the way through now, and depending on how efficient you guys are, what happens in the next couple of weeks, we could be looking to finish this probably in another 4 or 5 weeks. It might take longer, who knows. So I was like, what are we going to do next? And I've been itching for years of playing specifically Horde of the Dragon Queen, but that's part of a bigger, there's a two-part adventure, so it takes you from level 1 all the way up to level 15 if you complete it, and it's called Tyranny of Dragons. So I've just bought the I've just bought the special edition, which has got all of the errata all put into it, and it's redesigned and some love. It's so I've just bought that, which is really cool. Now I bought that from a local shop in town in Ipswich called Langdon Games, or Langdon Games and Ivory Goat Games. It's two shops in one. Check them out, check their website out. They're pretty cool. I actually picked it up because everyone's like, you know, support your local gaming shops, you know, don't go to Amazon. But you know what? Everyone's like, it's cheaper on Amazon. So that's why we do it. And that's where Bezos fucking gets his billions from. But actually, they were cheaper than Amazon. So if you're looking for their main kind of stuff, they do a lot of war gaming stuff. So like Warhammer, Bolt Action is another big kind of war gaming stuff. They do a lot of that. But they're also massive. We've got a really big community here, and it was just apparently for Magic the Gathering. So they do all that kind of stuff. And they do like, I don't know if they do any other RPG stuff, if it's at the moment, if it's just D&D, I'm not sure. But they've only really been branching out in that in the past year or so. Check them out online, again, if you're into that kind of stuff, if you want to see if you can get a good deal and support a local small business. You know, it might not be local to you, but in the UK, it's still better than Amazon, isn't it? So, and they do ship.
I love that as a little tagline. It's like, support local businesses. They may not be local to you, but they're local to someone.
They're local to someone.
So support them.
Yeah, and you know, there's some towns. We've got viewers and listeners all around the world. Surprisingly, we've got people in like Dubai and stuff that are downloaded. I don't know if they ship worldwide, but they certainly ship around the UK. And again, it's still better to support an independent business, you know, run by a couple of really honest guys, than it is to give more money to fucking Jeff Bezos. And other than that, two more things I wanted to say. I have found another couple of podcasts that I've fallen in love with. So I was raving about Roleplay Retcon before. They're still good. Check them out. But this past week, I have caned through about 30 episodes of a group called Flash Fantasy. Flash Fantasy, the Skeleton Crew. And they play a Star Wars game. Star Wars, it's a made by Wizard of the Coast, I think, back in the early noughties when like the Phantom Menace came out. So it's a D20-based system. All set in Star Wars universe. And I just think they are brilliant. And actually, the last episode pretty much had me in tears, because it was like a proper shocking twist of an ending. It was really, really fucking cool. So check them out if you're looking for something to listen to that's not us. And another UK-based one that they've just started, they've got two episodes called Dads and Dragons. So they are just doing chat, so they're not actually playing a game. It's just two guys from the UK somewhere, and they just basically have a love for all things geek and D&D, and they talk about their experiences, and it's really aimed at beginners. So like this week, they've just talked about, they're going through like the player's handbook and talking about all the different races. So if you're like brand new to the game and you want to get some insight to it, you know, and explore that journey, it's good. They're only short episodes, 20-30 minutes as well, so they seem quite cool. That's my stuff done. Nice. Do you want to play some D&D?
Yeah, let's die.
Cool. All right.
So we're in a really scary room.
You are. You need to roll a...
There's no reason to die.
D20.
Oh, really?
Yes, you do. Oh, okay. And so we can do a recap.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez. What's my third
one? Be low rolling.
7.
One.
18.
13.
Oh, 17. No, I don't want to do it.
Yay! I rolled an 18. I'm doing it.
Who got it?
Well, I got a 19.
Cool. So...
I'm really bad at them, though.
You're not.
I'm having a strop now.
Just about to open a pineapple milkshake IPA, which I've had in the freezer for the past couple of hours. I'm going to hopefully, I'm either going to make a massive fucking mess or I'm going to make a slush puppy. Let's see how that works.
Oh, God.
That sounds vile.
Stream goes down.
At least your recap, Sean, will be better than mine. Which will be...
See if this works. Watch this. Are you ready?
I walked into a room and I broke my tooth and I forgot everything else I had.
Oh, yeah. How's it? I can't tell.
Well,
looks like
it's very pina colada-y.
I don't think it was in the freezer for long enough.
It's just a really cold beer.
It's going to be really cold. Basically, there's this thing, it is actually quite icy, and there's this thing you can do with fizzy drinks where basically, if you shake them up as much as you can to get all the air out, right? Don't open it, but just shake it out so it gets solid. Then stick it in the freezer for a couple of hours. If you open it and pour it, it as the air goes back into the liquid, it turns to ice, and so it comes out like a slush puppy. That's really cool. But it didn't work.
Nice.
Didn't work.
The gym mug.
There's some ice in there. I just don't think I had it in the freeze. But either that or it's been sat on the side while I've been talking for too long, which is probably more likely because I do like to waffle. It tastes just like pineapple. That's awesome.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, when you get those funny, I hate fake flavors that don't taste like fake banana. Tastes nothing like banana.
It's horrible.
And it's, oh, it's vile, isn't it?
Yeah.
Call me old fashioned. I like my beer to taste like beer.
Yeah. Sean, what happens? Where are we? What's going on?
Right. I was terrible last time I did this, going from the beginning. So I'm literally going to do the last episode.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, fair enough.
So we got tipped off from Mr. Radolph. He gave us a little cross on our map to show us where Craigmore Castle is. We went to the outskirts after a few days travel, went to the outskirts of the forest, nearby where we believed it to be. I turned into, I think it was just a normal wolf, and headed in to scout around, found a castle, had a little scout about, found a few entrances, and then went and got the team. And then we went in and we came up with the best plan. However, it took us a good hour and a half to discuss it, even though I think Burr mentioned it in the first minute.
Yeah.
He just went, oh, we should do this. And we went, oh, that's not a bad idea. How about... And then an hour and a half later, we went, yeah, Burr, let's do what you said.
It was after deciding we weren't going to stand and talk about it for half an hour behind a curtain right next to some bugbears.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so we had a few... what were they? They were special bugbears, weren't they?
They were hobgoblins, actually.
Hobgoblins, that was it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then our sort of... is it MVP? Most valuable player?
Yeah.
Had to be the one, the only, the D to the R to the double OP. Yeah, he turns out he's quite the actor.
Quite useful.
He burst into the room to distract these hobgoblins. Gave him some spill. Actually, no, he didn't even lie, did he? He just went, yeah, they're here.
Yeah, if you want
the guys that you're looking for are right behind this door. So out they came, and possibly I think the best fight we've done as a group. It was quite tactical, wasn't it? It was, we got the job done pretty easily.
It's different entrances. Yeah,
considering it was tight quarters, we navigated our way around it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to string this out until Luke comes back because I don't know what to say.
No, you're doing well. Carry on.
We played to our strengths and we did. It took a long time to discuss it.
But yeah, when we'd done it, it was great.
We'd done the work.
Yeah, once we got there.
And then we found...
Where are we now?
We listened through a door in the northeast side, and we heard.
Well, you smelt through a door, didn't you, as well?
I had a little sniff, that's right. I'm a bear now, I believe. I lose track.
Because there was that bolted door, wasn't there?
Oh, there is another door that we're not. Yeah, that's right. There was. What did we smell behind
the
door?
That was. Yeah, the last smell of death.
It was like a troll or something. We think there was a smell of some sort of troll or something.
Not a human, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah, some kind of animal beast, I think it was.
Yeah.
That was it. So we thought, nah, fuck that. And we went the other way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now we've just, after being discovered, because I think there was a wolf that smelt the bear, was about to give us away. So we went in, and that is where we finished.
Kicked the door.
Pretty much. I'm going to assume that was all spot on because I had to get up and then sort my kids my dog out. But yeah, cool. So that's about it. We're in Craigmore Castle and we ended as you burst through the door, as you just said, and standing before you was a female dark elf, a drow with silvery white hair, a big fucking bugbear, a wolf. And I did tell you, I'm not actually sure you would have seen it from the doorway, but I did tell you that also you see on the floor an unconscious body that looks remarkably like your good friend, Gundren Rockseeker. So there we go. Wanted to talk to you about, because you were talking off stream before we started, just about what the fuck it is that you're supposed to be doing. So I don't know if you just covered that or not, if you wanted to quickly go for that. So,
no.
So yeah, basically the whole point of the adventure thus far has been really to find Gundren. Because he went missing. Gundren is important because he and his brothers have found this ancient secret mine, the Lost Mine of Phandelver, which was lost as part of the Phandelver's Pact, blah, 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 blah. And the Sildar Hallwinter and part of the who's representing the Lords Alliance, basically saying it's really important that we find this. It's going to bring trade and riches back into the north of the Sword Coast. It's going to help with the plight in Neverwinter, and it's going to build Phandalin up. It's going to be great for everybody. It's really important. And also with this mysterious black spider who's now in the frame as well, if this is the Lost Mine of Phandelver and it is capable of magic ore and making magic items like the legend says, it's going to be really fucking bad if that gets into the wrong hands. So,
not like our hands.
Yeah. So he did ask you, after you sorted all the crap out in Phandalin, sorted out the red brands and everything, and then you started to look for Radoff and everything, all that kind of stuff. He did say to you, look, you know, I'll make it worth your while. You know, the goblin menace in the area is a big problem. If you can find Gundren, or even if you don't, if you find the castle and you can get rid of the goblins, is what he said, then you'll be doing like a massive kind of favor for everybody, and he'll make it worth your while. You know, get rid of the goblins is what he said.
There was 500 gold to destroy the Cragmore tribe there from someone.
That's from Sildar. Right? Yeah, there we go. You found it.
And then he gave us some money to fund the mission.
Yeah. Sildar, here you go. Sildar encourages the characters to keep up the pressure on Cragmore goblins. He offers the party 500 gold pieces reward if they can locate Cragmore Castle and defeat or drive off the tribe's chieftain. Is what it says in the guide. But I think I probably did say to you, get rid of the goblin menace if that's what you've got written down. So that's cool.
Yeah. Someone did tell us it was someone called King Groll, but mm-hmm. I can't remember what character that was.
That would have been Droop. He's the only person that
was that Droop.
Yeah, he's the only person that would have known that information and told that to you. And then, of course, when you met Radoff, the crazy druid in Thundertree, and you said that him that you were looking for here, he did warn you as well. It's filled with goblins. It's really dangerous. But if you're going to go there, you know, again, if you can get rid of them, they're a scourge. So yeah, all of your kind of quest strings at the moment are pointing towards clearing out this castle. But
excellent.
Do with that information what you will. Everybody, roll initiative.
Whoa. Yeah.
1 plus 6.
Nary rolls 7. Shit. 6 a Rooney for me.
I'm just gonna move Burr a bit, so I still had you next to these dead people.
I'm 7, by the way.
Man, I rolled a 1 and I get 6 for my...
Wow.
I get 6 for my initiative, so...
Can't believe I got the highest and I got 9. That's mad.
Oh, you should all be on the initiative tracker. Please do feel free to fill in your numbers. Yeah. All right, so you've all rolled initiative. You all are pretty badly. Militant 9, Pock 8, Burr 7, Scape 7. Droopy Boy rolled a 16. Okay, so let me just go back to the description of this room. So we've got that here.
Room. Just going to be a bit cheeky and float the idea of a surprise round?
No, because if you remember, you were sniffing at the door, and then the wolf on the other side started sniffing at the door, and then you heard the voice in there say something like, "What's the matter, Snarl?" and something like that. And then the door burst open. So I think they were expecting it. So the chamber has been set up as a crude living space with thick furs thrown on the floor to serve as carpets. Old trophies hang on the walls. A large bed to the north, and then a brazier of coals burning brightly. A round table with several chairs stand in the south near the door. And near the table, on the floor, is an unconscious dwarf who looks badly beaten. So there you go. That's the room, basically. You've burst open the door. And as I said, there's a silver-haired female dark elf who stands up from a table. Massive bugbear wearing chainmail. Big, big morning star. He's got a shield next to it, leaning against as well. And he picks them up as he two stands up. The wolf is growling at you. She was shunted backwards as you burst open the door. The dark elf says, "Groll, what is the meaning of this, King Groll?" It doesn't even acknowledge it, really. And says, "Snarl, attack," as he jumps over the table. So he'll jump over the table. There's a bear there, I suppose. He's just going to whack at that bear.
Yeah.
What's the bear's AC then, Shawnee boy?
The bear's AC is a big, fluffy 11.
He's going to hit you.
Of course it is.
How many hit points do you have?
I took some damage, so I've got 15 left.
Nice. You're going to take 12 points of damage as this he kind of shunts you back. wow. with this morning star.
Ooh. Wowza.
Then going to swing at you again. That's going to be a 14.
Okay. Yeah. Right, so I've got three left. Terrible maths going on at the minute.
That's right. So hit you with three the second attack. Okay, hit you with the second attack to another 10 damage.
Okay.
So you're going to take... So you drop to zero, turn back into Pock, take another 7 points of damage as Pock.
Okay. Good start for Pock.
Shit.
It's Droop's turn.
Go, Droop.
Droop can't do anything because the doorway's blocked.
Oy.
So he's like, and he's standing there. I think you gave him a sword before, and he's like, and he's just kind of hopping around. But he can't get in and do anything. So he kind of pretty much just stands there. You haven't given him. Did you guys give him a bow or anything before?
No.
He's got a scimitar.
Gave him a scimitar. So he can't do anything, I'm afraid. The drow stands up, shouting at Grohl for, deceiving, like I said before. What is the meaning of this? How dare you deceive us? And stuff like that. And kind of disappears over here somewhere. The wolf can't get in either. So the wolf is kind of pacing backwards and forwards like this, but can't get to the door. So it's just snapping and barking and growling. Millicent, you're up.
Yeah. So at the moment, I can just see this bugbear in the doorway, right?
And a bleeding gnome. A battered gnome.
I can't move, can I, until it's my turn?
Until it's your turn.
Okay.
How much damage did he just take? Do I know how bad it was him?
Well, I mean, you know that he was transformed back, hit hard enough that he's had to drop out of his bear form.
The snowman always bleeding.
Right. I'm going to cast a spell that I've not cast before, guys. It's going to happen. So from where my token is right now, I can see this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously over the gnome shoulder sort of thing. And I can see the corner of this guy as well.
That's the wolf.
Okay, so if I want to cast a spell that is a 10-foot radius,
mm-hmm.
I'd cast it slightly behind them, I assume, so that it would it'd go off in the room.
Yeah, you can do that.
Okay, so I'm going to cast Shatter. Sudden loud ringing noise, painfully intense, erupts from a point of my choice within range. Each creature in a 10-foot radius sphere must make a constitution saving throw. Well, they might have quite a lot of constitution.
Maybe.
And it would be against a DC of...
Probably 13.
Yeah, 13, sorry.
So let's do the king and then the wolf. Whereabouts would you have centred it on?
It would be there.
Let's say the other people are too far away. What happens? A constitution saving throw, and what's the rest of that say?
Creature takes 3d8 thunder damage on a failed save.
On a successful?
Successful.
Okay, roll your damage.
Come on, D8, be fucking good. 17.
Nice. So what was the spell, sorry?
Shatter.
Shatter. Does it do anything else, Shatter?
Creature exceeds your damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. Creature made of inorganic material, such as stone, crystal, or metal, has a disadvantage on the saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't say anything else. It's basically... a loud ringing noise that's painfully intense.
Right, I wasn't sure if it just broke anything or destroyed anything.
No.
Okay.
Not on the card.
I was distracted by the Twitch chat when you started reading, so I wasn't sure what spell it was either. I thought if it was Thunder Wave, that pushes them away and stuff as well, doesn't it? So, okay, so 17 were for full, half for a save. So we'll half 17 and you round down, so it'll be 8 points of damage. It's not bad still. Even 8 points of damage is a decent fucking amount, especially when you dealt that to two people. Because unfortunately, they did both save. Boom! Everything that Lisa just described from that card just happened. Millicent, do you have anything else for us?
I'm going to bonus action inspire Burr.
You're inspire Burr.
Oh no! Wait, Pock after me.
Yeah.
I'll bonus action inspire Pock. Sorry, Burr, because he's
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Right, so now it is your turn, Pock.
Right. I should probably move, shouldn't I? Because I can't. Right, I'm going to...
You can go backwards. You can go through an ally's space, I'm wondering whether or not you can burst into the room or not. So let's...
Can I get through him?
There are rules about that, and I'm just wondering.
Well, I'm gonna chuck an entangle in, I think, a concentration spell before I transform into anything else.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is you can push and barge. I just don't have the rule for it in front of me. I think it's but
would it be a bonus action?
I think it's just got part of your move. I would allow it as part of your move.
Let me get out of the way.
Just don't really want to slow the game down too much. I don't think it's in the player's handbook. I think it's in... Let me Google. That's often the quickest way.
An action to shove.
Yeah, I think it might be an action to shove. You can move through a non-hostile creature space. You can move through a hostile creature space only if the creature is at least two sizes larger or smaller than you. So you're a gnome, so you do count as a small, but he's only a medium, so that's not going to count.
Can't go through his legs.
Hey, nutmeg.
Yeah, there definitely are rules for it in the optional rules in Dungeon Master's Guide, but I don't have that to hand, and even if I did, it would take me ages to find it. So it's up to you. Tell me what you want to do, and then I'll work out a way around it. If you want to get into the room, then we can do that.
I'd like to dive through his legs.
Okay.
And then I want to cast a concentration spell and then turn into some sort of animal. Undecided yet.
So what we'll do, because I can't be able to look up the rules, so I'm just going to make a house rule on the spot, but then we'll look into this later. Maybe someone in the Twitch chat can find the answer for me, or if not, we can car park it and I'll come to it later. So there is what we'll do is he will get an attack of opportunity, but well, to see whether you can dive through his legs, you're going to need to make some kind of roll for it as well. So okay. We'll do a dexterity check. You can, if you're proficient in acrobatics, so basically an acrobatics check.
I'm flexible.
What does inspiration give you again?
Inspiration gives you advantage, so you can use it to roll twice and take the higher result.
Oh, right.
Plus two, I'll go for 12.
Well, I rolled an 8.
Yeah, boy.
So you do successfully manage to dive through his legs. However, he will still get the... So that was to see whether you could do it or whether you just kind of... He manages to block you or not.
Okay.
But I'm still going to allow him one attack. So you move
does
yourself...
Does that happen instantaneously?
Well, move yourself into the room. It depends where you want to go. Because you only get an attack opportunity if you leave his reach.
So for the spell I want to cast, just thinking ahead, 20-foot cube within range.
A 20-foot cube.
Yeah, can I get them all in?
Yeah, you can. So basically it's 20-foot on a side. So the room is bigger than that. So basically...
Okay. I want to be outside of that radius as well.
So you can cast. So you cast that into the room, and then you dive through his legs.
So cool.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to be in it as well if you dive into the room and cast it. So cast the spell first. So that's a saving throw to see if they get entangled.
No, this is fairy fire.
Okay.
So this.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So that's fine. So you cast that dexterity saving throw. What's your spell save DC?
13.
Right. So the King Groll does not glow. The wolf does glow. The drow starts glowing. So does the unconscious dwarf. So King Groll does not. Unfortunately, probably the one that you probably really wanted to get glowing doesn't.
Yeah.
But the other ones do. So you do that, then you dive through his legs. So the question is, where do you want to be? So you've dived through his legs and you're just on the other side of him. Or did you want to kind of dive diagonally? All I'm thinking is, that's a nice big...
I don't want to leave the space.
I'm thinking that's quite a nice big space where you could turn into something bigger.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah, of course. I forget about that. I'd like to pop off into a dire wolf, I think.
Dire wolf.
All right, dire wolf it is. Worst case, I've got Misty Step to just fucking leave.
Yeah.
see you later, guys.
Okay, so all of that happens. So you haven't left his area, so he doesn't get the opportunity attack. You manage to dive through his legs, and you... there you go. You're in the room as a big fucking wolf. You've used everything that you could possibly use. You've used the bonus action. You've used an action. I gave you a free action as well. So that's you done.
Lovely.
Burr, you're up.
Yep. Right.
Hashtag so, is it flanked?
Is it flanked? Roll to attack 13 or a 13. So plus five, so 18.
That yeah. hits, sir.
Good. And it's 1d8. One plus three, four.
4 points. And do you want to add your sneak attack damage onto that
sneak
as well?
Sneak attack, yeah. That's
another 2d6.
2d6. Do I have to roll to hit?
No, the sneak attack, no. You've already done that. Yeah. It's part of the same action.
5 and 2, 7.
Another 7 points. Nothing to be yeah. to laugh at. Then you've got, as a swashbuckler, you've got that bonus attack, so you can make a second attack with your short sword as well if you want to.
Or I can move away.
You can do that anyway.
I can do that anyway, can't I? Yeah. Okay, so fancy short sword. Oh, yeah, it's two-handed fighting, isn't it? Plus five, 1d6 plus three.
So you roll to hit on your second attack.
Roll to hit, yeah. Sorry.
With advantage.
Definitely didn't hit. That was a 2. And a 15, yeah.
So that's a hit. 15 plus your fire thing. So that hits.
Five.
You roll for damage. Now, with the second attack was with two weapon fighting, you don't add on any modifiers. So you just roll the d6.
Okay, so just the d6. He's a 3.
Nice. That's a decent attack. And then you've got, as a swashbuckler, you've got fancy footwork quite a bit, so you can disengage.
So I can move away. Yep, and I will.
Run away.
Behind scapes.
I'm going to get in front of the door.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. How much damage was that in total?
Yeah, a decent amount. I wasn't keeping track. Was it 3 plus 7? No, 4 plus 7 plus something. A decent amount.
Yeah, okay.
So, Scapes, you're up next, mate. Okay, Bring the justice!
Unfortunately, I'll just be able to move in front of this guy and try and whack him with advantage. Oh, no, actually, I want to do my bonus action first. Sorry, can I cast, what's it called?
Hunter's Mark, is it?
He's got a spell called Fuck Off.
Fuck Off!
Fuck Off!
Spell called Tax Deductible.
Yeah. So, what was that called? Hunter's Mark, yeah, all right.
So it means you do, like, extra damage or something, doesn't it, if you hit?
Yeah, basically, if I hit, I get to add a plus 6 to it, and once this guy dies, I can move it. Over it lasts an hour, so and then I'm going to try and hit him.
Do it.
There's one, and, so which was 11.
That's a miss, but you had advantage. That hasn't come. A 13 is a miss, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, bud.
Shit.
Unfortunately, you missed both of those attacks. You stood in front of that doorway. Are you going to stay there, or you?
Can I move?
You can move, but if you leave his... Well, to be fair, if you leave their reach, they get an opportunity attack against you.
Yeah, because I don't want to be in the way for other people to have a go. So, yeah, let me move back down here.
Right, so the argument is whether or not you're still in attack range. Technically, you are because you're within a 5-foot square, but you've tucked back behind the door. I'm going to let him take an attack against you with disadvantage because you're diving behind a wall.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
Nice
call. You rolled quite well, mind you. 14 on the dice, plus 5, 19.
Mine is 19.
Meets it beats.
Fair enough.
Oh, no. Fuck.
My mental arithmetic's not great tonight. Do apologise, guys. How many hit points have you got?
22.
Okay. There's 12 points of damage.
12. Ow.
Remember, we've got elf potions.
Yeah. All right, sweet.
Next up, back to the top of the round. So it's King Grohl. I think he's a little bit like, shit, I don't want to go out there. There's a lot of people out there. He can see you all. There's a big old fucking wolf behind him. He is going to let out a roar of anger, and it's something in Goblinoid, which Pock might understand because he speaks Goblinoid, but nobody else does. And it's something along the lines of, I'll skin you and add your fur to my drapes and eat your heart and let my dog shag your corpse and stuff like that. He's then going to jump up onto the table. And I'm going to make a house rule because you're fucking huge. You're massive. He jumps up on the table. No, just so that he's got like height. You know, it's like in real life. Oh, okay. In real life combat, you want a height advantage, don't you? You know, it's you know. Don't do it, Anakin. I have the high ground. You know.
So, I thought you was going to get him on my back. I was like, easy.
And maybe ride you like Seabiscuit. Okay, he's going to attack you. I think that's going to hit you, mate. What's your AC?
Oh, I've got up to a 14.
Oh, unfortunately, you rolled a 16, so it is going to hit you. For 6 points of damage, second attack, and 11. Right.
It's mine.
It's yours. Droop. So I'm going to see whether or not he is brave enough to run into the room and help. And I rolled a 6. Minus 1 is 5. Oh, yeah. So he's, well, you know, maybe the opposite. I don't know how really. But no, I was rolling for high numbers. He's shitting himself. Like, you're probably not paying much attention because you're in the middle of combat. But, like, if you were to look at him, you could tell he's kind of looking at the door and he's like, oh, he's just frozen. He's looking for the moment, waiting for an opportune moment to decide whether or not this is worth his life or not.
We've still got his choice.
Puck, height of battle, just roll me a quick perception check.
I'm changing dice. Shit. Oh, wait, I've got advantage on perception.
Based on smell. It's more to do with your sight, so no.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think that trait is you get advantage on perception checks using your smell.
Yes, it is. Smell and hearing.
Yeah.
Smell and hearing. Yeah,
so.
8 total. That dice is going in a bit.
Go on. Roll with advantage.
He really wants me to see something.
Not really. Just give you a fair go of it.
21.
Nice. So, I mean, you're like, you know, you're a little bit flanked. This bugbear's just jumped up and then smacked you. And then there's a wolf snapping at your legs as well behind you there. You do notice this drow is rummaging, you know, searching the body, looking under like rags and stuff. Okay, the wolf is going to 50-50. Is it going to attack the bear, the big wolf, or run outside and attack somebody else? High or low for Sean? High or low, mate?
Low.
Goes for you. Okay. but misses.
Excellent. Lovely.
Snapping at you, but you're moving around and your tail's wagging and you're just like trying to avoid, as you and the bugbear King Grow are going backwards and forwards fighting, you're snapping at him and he's swinging at you and you're just, he can't bite your ankles. Midison, you're up.
Yes. Okay. So as long as I don't use, two weapon fighting means that as a bonus action, I can use an offhand weapon, right?
Anybody can two weapon fight. Yeah. Yes.
So I just wanted to be absolutely sure that I was doing it right. So I'm going to run in.
As long as you're using a light weapon in one hand, you can use a bonus action to make a second attack with your offhand, providing that that is also a light weapon. So you couldn't do it with a long sword. You can't do it with a long sword, but you can do it with a short sword and a dagger, or two short swords, or two rapiers, or that kind of combination.
I don't think I have two short swords, but I've got a short sword and a dagger. So yeah. I just wanted to get that straight in my head as well. So I'm going to attack this dude.
The wolf.
I'm going to attack the wolf. Is it advantage? Is it still fairy fired?
Yeah, this one is fairy fired, yes.
That'll be an 18 to hit.
That'll do it.
Without us on the dice, without any pluses.
Yeah.
8 points of damage.
Oh, nice.
6 on the dice. And then I'll do a second attack, and it's still at advantage. Give me dagger. 19 on the dice.
That will hit.
And a natural one on the other one, which is always fun to avoid. And then a cheeky little d4.
Yeah.
My dagger.
So the second attack, you don't add on your strength modifier or dex modifier, so it's just the dice roll.
Just the dice roll. There's a 4.
Nice.
Yeah, done all right there.
Take it.
Yeah, so
Thank you, special dice.
The wolf is not really paying, as I just explained, he's trying to snap at the heels of Puck in a giant sort of dire wolf form, snapping around his heels, can't get in there. You run into the door. First thing you see, you turn around, you swing down with your short sword and you slash it in the side. It turns around and starts biting instinctively at you. And as he does so, you bring your dagger around, stab it in the side of the head, and there's a short, quick yelp, high-pitched, as dogs do when you stand on their legs, you know? And it just slides off your dagger dead.
Yeah,
boy.
Oh, that's helpful. Okay, as it's dead, can I move past it?
You can.
So what have I done? 1, 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm just going to move over to the other side of the room to get a bit.
That's fine. Now, if you'd notice, as you were stood there, you're within 5 foot of King Grol. So as you run into the room, kill his wolf, and then die, then jump over its dead body, swings down at you with his Morning Star.
Ow.
And hits.
Oh, I needed you 5 foot away from him.
Oh, sorry.
I couldn't say.
That's the first time I've ever seen what's in this room, because even when I'm standing outside, it's darkness. I didn't know. Sorry.
No, that's all right. The whole row, I was like, please stay there after. Please stay there after.
You're going to take 8 points of damage as he swings down and you just dive out the way of his Morningstar. And it doesn't quite crush your skull. And then you're in that far corner, standing on a bed or something.
In bed.
Well, yeah, just to
According to the map, there's a bed there. There's another door there as well. It's something that hadn't been described. So there's another door there in a little room. But I'm sure you'll explore that later. Anything else for you, Millicent?
That's it.
Puck, you're up.
I have to take this guy out with no advantage because he's not flanked.
I wouldn't have been flanking him anyway, if that's what you think. Would I?
My animal pack tactics
come into that.
Right, it's all right. Right, I'm going for a bite against the bastard.
Do it.
Plus 5 to hit. So 16.
It's a miss.
Oh, fuck.
He's got a chainmail.
Wait, dude, I inspired you. You've got another D6.
You do have another D6.
Oh, yeah.
Add it on. Just don't roll a 1.
2.
What's that total?
Oh, God knows 18. What did I say?
16 plus 2 is 18. That hits. Roll for damage.
Yeah. Right. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
9 total?
9 total.
Yeah, he's got this big wooden shield with hide kind of like leather and stuff stapled or nailed onto it, and it's big Morning Star, and you're snapping away him with his wolf, and he's batting you off and stuff, but you're getting some good hits in there, and you can see it's definitely taking effect. You're tiring him out a bit, but he's still just standing.
On top of that, is he a creature?
Yes, he is. What's the text?
If the target is a creature, it must succeed a DC 13 strength saving throw or be knocked prone.
A DC
13 strength.
That's probably its best stat. Let's have a look. If it meets, it beats. 13. Rolled a 13. You're snapping at his because he's up on the table as well. You're snapping at his legs and stuff, but he just managed to kind of move away and bat you away with his shield. But it's jarred his arm, so you can see that it is definitely having some kind of physical effect on him. You know, you are wearing away at his stamina. Would you like to do anything else?
I think I'll stay put. If movement is my only option, I believe.
Yeah. Movement.
Concentration spells again. Yeah.
Yeah, you got that. So the wolf's dead. The drow is still glowing, but yeah, Grol was not affected. Okay, Burr, you are up.
Well, I'm gonna go in there and then try and attack him somehow. But can I just move in there?
Yep. You can't see what's going on in that room, can you? Yeah, just move your token up and you'll see.
Okay.
So that's the door.
So that's all right. I can attack it.
I
can attack from there, can't I?
You can attack from there, but because of course you can move away again. So yeah, you can do that if that's your plan.
If I move next to him, do I roll with an advantage? Or do I roll with advantage like that?
I think I've said
it before. Or is it because I've just moved in?
No, so what I've said before with flanking is you need to be behind him.
Either side.
If there was like 3 of you on him, then I would allow it because then he's spending off 3. But if you're at a moment, you're both in front of him so he can see both of you. But if in order to get that advantage, you'd need to be directly behind him and you can't really get behind
him. Because there's a sleeping dwarf.
Yeah. I mean, technically, you could stand on top of the dwarf if you wanted to.
Yeah. Nah, I think I'd be all right. I'll stay there and I'll just roll as normal because I can move anyway. Right. Roll to hit 13 plus
plus 5.
It's my rapier. Yeah, plus 5. 18.
18. That's a hit.
Plus 3. 7 plus
3. 10. Nice. 10 points of damage. Are you chucking your sneak attack into that?
Yeah.
2d6.
First one is a 2. second one is a 5-7. So that's 17 points of damage so far.
Nice. So another 7.
Yeah.
Okay. And then are you going to use a bonus action to attack?
Yeah, I'll use my short sword, which is 1d6. And that's a 3.
To hit.
Yeah.
So 3.
Oh, to hit. Sorry. Hit. 14. Yeah.
14 plus total, five. Plus 5, 19. Plus that's five, a hit 19. For another 3 points of damage.
For another 3 points of damage, yeah. Cool.
Nice round.
Crack in.
Yeah, good yeah. stuff. And then you're going to...
And then I'll shuffle away.
Shuffle away.
Behind. Oh.
Sorry.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to move up to Millicent because then Puck's got some movement there.
That's fine.
Ah, oh, thanks.
Next up is Skates.
I can see Whisperer.
Okay, I'll move into the room so I can have a look.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're not going to like it.
Come on.
Our goblin can move through me, can't he? So.
I don't think he's coming anywhere near it.
I suppose I'd like to move there.
Yeah.
See, my lay on hands is an action, right? Does that mean I won't be able to attack?
Yes. It's one or the other.
Oh, I'm going to swing at him. Fuck him. Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah. 24.
Eesh. That will hit. Well, for right. damage.
Okay. Right. 12 damage. It's already got it on my thing.
Mm-hmm. 12.
Yeah. But plus I get to put a D6 on top of it because of the hunter's mark.
Yeah.
That's all there.
Oh dear.
Which was a 6. So it's 18 altogether.
Okay. So this encounter in the book is built as just a normal standard bugbear. They have slightly more hit points than normal. I think a normal bugbear has around 20-something hit points, and they've basically doubled it up to 45. And oh. I thought to myself, you know what, this is meant to be a fucking boss, the king, you know. You've killed loads of bugbears now, you're level 3. I'm going to look in the monster manual, and I'm going to change it so that instead of just a normal bugbear with extra hit points, it's a bugbear chief. A bugbear chief has a challenge rating of 3, 65 hit points. That's 2 attacks instead of the 1. And I thought, so this would be interesting.
That makes sense. I'd make that decision.
Yeah. Explain to me how you killed him, Skames.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just went around. I went like that and kind of waved my sword around where his dick was. And then he just looked down at it and I just swiped out and cut
The old switcheroo.
Yeah, that's it.
What's that called? What's that film? Lucky Number 11.
Oh, yeah.
And the City Shuffle, isn't it?
I can't remember. Yeah. It's got Ryan Reynolds in it, isn't it?
No.
No, I wouldn't have watched it.
Lucky Number
Bruce 7. Bruce Willis and...
Yeah.
That's it. Is it Josh Hartnett?
Josh Hartnett.
Is it Josh Hartnett?
Josh Hartnett. Josh Hartnett, yeah.
I have seen that film. That's the one when they're like con men assassins, aren't they?
Yeah. Is it Ben Kingsley and Morgan Freeman as well? Yeah,
that's right. That's a fantastic one. What happened to Josh Hartnett? He was a fantastic actor.
I was just about to say, yeah.
Wasn't he in Penny Dreadful or something?
He was, yeah. He did Penny Dreadful, actually, to be fair, a few years ago. That was...
I haven't seen that yet.
You know what? I watched the first season and I was like, cool. It's got like a wet, you know, is he a werewolf? I don't know. He might have been. I never found out. And then there's like a Frankenstein character and like possibly like a vampire, Dracula, and like some witches. And it's had all of the elements of the kind of show that I would fucking love. But my God, was it fucking boring.
as a bonus action, what can I move on top of him?
Yeah, he's on top of a table, but yeah, you can climb up.
How can I jump on the table?
Yeah,
are you teabagging him?
Roll me an acrobatics check.
So many times.
Well, okay, I stepped on the table very carefully. Then.
Oh, it's still like an acrobatics check.
Okay, go on then. Oh, I can't find it. Should we just say I rolled 18 or something like that?
Unfortunately, the game doesn't work like that.
If we want to, that's the best thing about D&D.
Escapes, he's got his plums out, dropping them on his head.
Trying to get on the table. Watch. Oh, 16.
Oh, that'll do. Yeah, that's fine. You jump up. If you rolled less than a 10, then I'd have you like slip on his blood and stuff and fall off.
It's a minus one, like that is as well.
That's right. Yeah, you've jumped on top of his dead body.
Yay.
Okay. Well, the King Grohl next doesn't do anything. Droop is hiding. It's now the drow's turn. The drow looks around the room and fucking pelts it.
Yeah. What? Where?
Can I throw something at him?
Opportunity of attack. And it's a she.
Yeah.
Or her, sorry. We can chuck saying.
I'm going to put her there, and she has left both Scapes and Pox space, so you can both make a quick opportunity attack.
Okay, so I just roll the
D20 to hit, just a roll to hit as normal.
Okay. With advantage.
Is it with advantage, is it?
Because of your pack tactics. Yeah.
No, Fairy Fire.
Oh, yeah, Fairy Fire. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so roll with advantage.
I got a 19.
That will hit.
And a 5. I'll take the 19.
I got an 8.
Wait, load.
A 16.
Okay, so you both hit. You're there already. Your damage is already up. So 9 points of damage from Scapes. And then do you want to roll your damage, Sean?
Yeah, Park. Can I make this non-lethal?
Of course
just in case.
Yeah.
That's a 4, 5, 6, 7 in total.
7 points of damage. Of non-lethal damage, that's fine.
Kind of, Ed, I don't know if Ed, this probably goes back to what we said earlier on, but the idea is more to grab and restrain.
Yeah.
I've done 9 points.
Luke's straining.
Yeah.
Did you just get my 9 points on it, Luke?
I did do that first, yeah.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah, runs away. It's up to you. What are you going to do?
I want information.
Yeah, I'll
yeah, it's Millicent's go, yeah.
It would be, yeah. I wouldn't mind following up, if that's what your plan is.
So I'm here, and I can't see where they've gone.
Nope.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. Okay, can I see Droopy?
You can.
That way! He went that way!
Can I move as well, or have I got to move after?
You have to wait your turn, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Which way is he pointing?
the other way that's not behind him.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So. I stopped her. I was like, ah! And then she ran that way.
I start laughing because that's a funny description. Okay, so I'm just going to count 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. 30 would get me there. So I'm going to dash as an action.
Okay.
25 gets me there. I can't now do anything because I've dashed.
Yeah.
But I've at least caught up to I know where.
Yeah,
I can see it running.
Yeah. I probably should have. Running through the door. I doubt very much she would have had the kind sight to have closed the door behind us. That's fine.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. That's all I can do.
Okay, Puck.
Right. So the wolf has got a 50-foot speed.
Fucking hell!
I'm going to follow up. in terms of movement, obviously I'm massive. I still use the 5 foot squares. Is that right?
Yeah. So you can when you're moving, you can squeeze through 5 foot squares. But in order to combat to fight, you need to be able to control a 10 foot square. So
okay,
yeah, you can chase for the sake of moving you through the corridor.
Would this be my? Oh, okay, perfect, yeah. Lovely.
I like the thought process though. Am I so big that 5 feet has now become 10 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I taking fabric of space?
That's 10, and I'm heading down. Is that right? Where's Droop pointing?
Yeah, that way.
That way. So downwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll see. Basically, Millicent is chasing this drow, and you can see. And just you have to imagine that everything's moving all fluidly. So yeah.
So can I get through and just pounce?
No. I would allow you to. Technically, you are adjacent. I mean, this is what I did with Scapes and King Grohl earlier on, is that you can. Can't move past their space. You need to be able to control a 10 foot square to make an attack.
Oh, of course. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. So you can squeeze into that gap and have a sniff, but you wouldn't be able to do anything because you're when dogs go, you'll be squeezing down to get into it, you know?
Yeah.
You can't really attack. Well, you could possibly, if you've got the space to move down there, from there, I would give you disadvantage on the attack roll. Though, to be fair, she is still got fairy fire, so they cancel each other out, so it'll just be a normal roll.
Oh, let's go for it. See if I can just nip a leg just as she running through the door.
Go on, Pop.
So that's a 10 plus 15 in total.
To hit? That will hit. You know what? Earlier on, I just remembered, with your opportunity attack, I should have made a dex saving throw to see if you knocked her prone, and I forgot. So I do apologise. So roll for damage.
Ooh, six.
Six ten. Points of damage. 10 points of damage.
Oh, no. Sorry, this is me counting. 10 on the dice plus three, so 13 piercing damage. Nice.
And then non-lethal. Yeah, and then there's dex saving throw to see whether she's knocked prone.
That's 13 strength.
I rolled a 14, so she's not. You're just nipped at her leg, and she's managed to tear it through as she runs through. I mean, this is going to take a while, so let's try and speed it up. Burr, you've seen everyone run. Are you taking...
I can only move 25. Can I dash?
Yeah, so you can... you actually, twice. You say you could... Yeah, so basically, you can. You use your action to dash, which means you move twice. Your cunning action, or whatever it's called, that you get as a run, allows you to take a dash again. So actually, you can move up to 75.
Oh, well, okay. And you're all in the way.
You're all in the way, but you're chasing.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Can I stand where Millicent is and attack?
No, you can't. You can't end your turn. You need to be able
but
to.
But then I can move away, can't I?
No, because you need to be able to control a 5-foot square to attack. So at the moment, she's controlling that square. So you can
and
pass.
I can't do it from the doorway at an angle.
You could do what I would said to Puck. So you could attack sideways, but because you're going through, it's a tight gap. You're trying to hit kind of through medicine and there's through the door. You're trying to make a sneaky stab. So you'll be rolling with disadvantage.
Right.
Because she is covered in fairy fire, which would normally give you advantage, the two cancel each other out. So you just roll normal 1d20.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to do 10 plus 5. 15.
Hits.
Yeah, and I'm going to do non-lethal damage with that. That is 8.
8 points of damage. Most definitely get your sneak attack on top of that.
Yeah, and that is, again, what's it called?
Non-lethal, that's fine.
Non-lethal damage. And that is 2d6. That is a 2... And a 5, 7. 8 plus 7, 7.
Okay, she's still standing.
And can I use my short sword as well?
You can.
I've got a roll to hit, though. And it's a natural 1.
But you... Okay, roll me another attack roll and tell me what you get.
10.
10 total.
Yeah.
Millicent, beat your 10 for me.
Well, 10 plus, my rapier or...
Well, it's your...
My short sword.
Short sword, yeah.
It's plus 5, so 15. Yeah,
15. Millicent, roll me a dexterity saving throw.
21.
That's fine. That's fine. So, yeah. Well, I mean, he's trying to get through this tiny little gap right next to Millicent. I was wondering whether or not he might have accidentally nicked Millicent instead. Is that why you missed? Did Millicent accidentally get in the way?
Fair. Absolutely fair.
There are rules, optional rules in the DMG about like cover. So when someone's behind a wall and stuff, and they get a plus to their bonus. So an optional rule is if you miss, but the roll was, you know, so if like, an ally is in front, if you know, basically if the roll was good enough to hit the AC of whatever the cover is, it hits that instead. So I was like, oh, that's kind of little kind of bit of fun, the base around there.
Yeah.
But don't worry, we're 21 at dexterity save, you're fine. Okay, Scapes, you're still left in that room. There's an unconscious dwarf next to you and a dead you're standing on top of a dead bugbear chief, and there's also a dead wolf and there's a fire burning. What are you gonna do?
I'm not really sure. I'm wondering if I should try and work out what I should lift this dwarf up or try and wake him up. But I also think, wondering if this king has anything. We're also in the middle of a flight, so who knows? Should I just chase after him? We can come back.
You could do.
Just tell him.
That's a good point, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't want to babysit this stupid dwarf.
Droopy. Get Droopy to do it.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Can I move 10 foot to there to get started?
Yeah.
Right, and then go, Droop, get in there and look after the dwarf.
It's like,
now.
Roll me intimidation.
Oh, okay. Intimidation. 15.
Lovely. Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, that would do it. He's like, okay. Yes, sir. Excellent. Is everything dead in there? He went that way.
Yeah, everything that needs to be dead is dead.
Okay.
Can I move my further 20 then?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, one up to there. Oh.
You can't get in there. Yeah, basically, that's as good as you've got.
And I can't move anymore.
If that's your full movement, then no. Yeah, you can take the dash action, but you've got nowhere to go to. Unless you want to dash back and see whether you can get around to the other side of the room.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I thought maybe I'd go around that way, but I didn't want to get left behind. So how much more can I move then?
You can, if you take the dash action, you can do your whole movement again. So like that's another 30 feet.
Okay.
So are you going back the other way?
15, 20. Can I go then to there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Cracking shot.
Yeah, from
there.
Okay. I'm just going to double check that. Because I think you can do more than that. You can go diagonal, so you can get to there.
Okay.
An extra cool. 5-foot square for you.
Oh, that'd be it, yeah.
Just hold a fist behind the curtain and wait for it to run.
If yeah. I can get that close, I will. All right,
one of those metal trays.
Can I hold my sword at the curtain, Luke?
Pardon?
The frying pan.
Can I hold my sword at the curtain? Because it is 5 foot away from
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know what good that does, but yeah.
Just going to end up on my sword.
I just want to like literally just hold it there in case she runs through and runs into it. Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right, that's
just flavour in the second.
That's fine. Yeah.
The inner puck told me.
Doppelganger is going to attack Millicent because fuck it.
Was that a slip of the tongue?
What's that?
Was that a slip of the tongue?
Slip of the tongue? What do you mean? Well, like, she can't get anywhere, can she? Oh, I said the wrong fucking word, didn't I? Shh. It was a slip of the tongue. I didn't even notice either. The drow. Rolls a 17.
Are they bleeding blue by any chance at the moment?
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be able to tell because the skin's black anyway.
Okay.
She rolled a 17 to hit me?
17 plus 6.
Oh, she stopped.
So that hits.
So that's going to hit.
She's up for it.
You're going to take 6 points of damage. She's then going to make a second attack. Even shit in the first one. 11 in the second one?
Miss.
Okay. So the first one did how much I said it did. And then it's going to move. So you'll take an attack of opportunity. You get attack opportunity with advantage, Millicent.
Can that attack be a grapple?
It needs to be a melee attack. Let's have a look, see what it says about grapple. If a grapple is a type of melee attack, then yes.
It says. Actions in combat. Attack, cast a spell, dash, disengage, dodge, grapple, help, hide, improvise.
I
don't know if it counts as melee, but
it doesn't. I'm going to say no, because I'm fair to say it doesn't count as an attack.
No worries, that's fine. 13.
13 is a miss, I'm afraid. With advantage. Yeah. What a poor roll.
With advantage, yeah. 6 and 9.
It's running. She ran away some more.
She's running away some more.
She's running away some more. Who's up next on the initiative tracker?
Me.
Oh, you. How are you taking, Chase?
Yes. I'm gonna
do
get
it.
This bitch.
Come on, quick, because it's break time.
I'm gagging for another beer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's as far as I can go with a single.
Okay, so
thing.
From
I
there,
can see her.
You can make an attack. But she's just around the corner, so I'll give her cover.
Oh, I mean, I want to grapple her. I don't want to...
You can make a grapple. I'll give you... because you don't have to be like on this space. You have to be within 5 feet.
Although I do have shit. I have terrible strength.
It's an opposed
check. Isn't it?
A strength, and it's an opposed check as well. So it's your strength roll against... it's acrobatic. Athletics. Strength athletics against her roll, basically.
Are you done for those?
Do I try and hit her and knock her out, or do I try and... I've still got advantage, haven't I?
You do.
Fuck it, I'm going to hit her. 17 plus 4, 21.
No, we'll hit, roll for damage.
Oh, dear, lovely.
4 points of damage. dagger. That's a natural 20 on the second hit.
Sweet.
So that is 7 points of damage.
So you do an automatic 4 plus 3 for 7 points of damage. And How do you do this? How do you finish this?
Oh, hey. Okay. So I actually just want to like knock her out. So I'm going to give her a little bit of a dig in the ribs because she hurt me last round. But then I'm going to spin my dagger around and just knock her on the temple and try and knock her out cold.
Doink.
Okay. You do that. You kind of whack her with the sword and then you whack her with the base or the hilt pommel of the dagger on the back of the head. She falls down just as she was opening that door and slumps down the floor. All of a sudden, there's lots of voices. You don't know what's going on. It's like, ah! That'll do for part one.
Oh man. That's good.
Yeah, very good.
Back in.
Cool. Right. So thank you very much, everybody. Part one, we're going to have a short break and we'll be back in a bit. While you're waiting for us, we're going to be maybe five to 10 minutes to have a wee and a fag and top our drinks up and stuff. Please stay with us. We've got loads, you know, strong viewership tonight. I think we've got a solid 16 in there. A couple of people, so a new person, LARPstrong_Carter. They've been talking about kind of rules, decisions and stuff that I've made today. I've been looking in there periodically about like when you dove through the King Grohl's legs and things like that. They, you know, basically talking about like DM rules trump, you know, so when you can't think of a rule, what the DM says goes, even if it's technically wrong. And things like that. So that's cool. So thank you very much. Dragon and Dining Room still with us. They're all talking, Lecky Mac on. So great. You know, there's 16 viewers. They've just dropped down to 13 as I'm talking. So you know, if you're watching, you know, get involved in the chat. They're a lovely bunch of people, you know. I try my best to engage with you as well as we're going as well. So while you're waiting for us to come back, like I said, you've got 5-10 minutes. Please do, if you're not already, give us a follow on Twitter at @showdnd. Give us a follow on Facebook, the other one, at @showdnd. Go on to iTunes and drop us a review or something like that. You know, share some love. You know, tell your friends that you're watching. Try and get some more people in here. You know, we really appreciate it. Otherwise, stay exactly where you are, guys. Like I said, we'll be back very, very soon.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Bly for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast LLC.
Bolt thrower here. Excuse me one second. Oh, you bastard. Oi, Scapes, wrap up a bit of that old meat for me, will ya? Do you sometimes find yourself in the midst of battle wondering if a creature is flanked? Wondering if you meet the criteria for sneak attack? Well, look no further. Grab your player's handbook or other D&D books at landongames.co.uk using the code DICEANDDIE for a whopping 15% off of their D&D range. That's LangdonGames.co.uk. Happy adventures.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons & Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.